From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. And wow, do we have a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, our good buddy Mike Huckabee is going to drop by. Also, Jesse Jane Duff from the Trump campaign. She's heading up Veterans for Trump, and we're going to have a great conversation with her, as well as Rhett Walker, who is a Grammy-nominated Dove Award-winning singer, and he's got a brand-new project out, just performed last weekend at the Grand Ole Opry. So we're going to look forward to having a chat with him. And I have to tell you, I apologize for the voice. I'm a little under the weather, just a smidge under the weather right now, and had a very busy weekend. Want to say thank you to the Mid-South MAGA crew. What an incredible time over the weekend. Had a massive Trump car rally, and the folks turned out in their pickup trucks and their motorcycles. And they made their way from Memphis all the way up to the airport in Millington, which is where the Navy base is. And it was really so encouraging to see so many of our listeners and the great work that the team did to put all of that together. They did a wonderful job, patriots all. And, you know, one of the things that I was really struck by was the age. Now, typically, when you go to a Republican event, you got a bunch of gray-haired folks like yours truly. But this was a very young, energetic, exciting crowd, a lot of young people in the mix, and it was sort of exciting to see that that there are young people that are interested in politics, young people that are interested in saving the country. And ladies and gentlemen, as I watched things unfold over the weekend, it is very clear to me that not only is this the most consequential election of our lifetime, if we do not get out and we do not vote on Election Day, we will lose our freedom. I have absolutely no doubt about that at all. And it is we're going to take you through what I suspect is going on here, but it is a nefarious plot and everything is connected. Over the weekend, I don't know if you guys heard the story. We were covering it over on our website, toddstearnes.com. President Trump flying up to Montana. And there was an emergency landing. The Trump Force One had some sort of a mechanical issue. They had to land the plane, and then they had to get the president on a private plane to get to the rally in Montana. And then over the weekend, we learned that the Trump campaign staff had been hacked, that unknown operators we believe to be Iranian were able to access a lot of important Trump data, including the nearly 300-page dossier on Senator J.D. Vance. We know some of that intel, some of that information was sent out to media. We also know that there is somebody within the Trump campaign now leaking information to Politico. Trump, it implies, some of his postings over the weekend implied he knows who's behind all of this, and I hope he does. And I hope that whoever that person is has already been fired, and now we need to know who that person is, because that person has no business being anywhere around any conservative political campaigns, period. But I just want to ask you a question here. Over the past 3.5 weeks, we have now seen the attempted assassination of President Trump. We have seen a mechanical issue on Trump Force One resulting in emergency landing. We've had the hacking incident. Do you think this is all just coincidental, everybody? You think these things are just happening in some sort of a vacuum? That these things may, is it possible that all of these things may be connected? Now, we have a looming issue in this country, and this will ultimately be the deciding factor of what happens moving forward, and that is the sentencing of President Trump, which will happen next month. And when you look at the timeline here, it's going to be fascinating. Now, Trump is going to be sentenced on September the 18th. This is just after the DNC meeting in, or rather, this is after the DNC meets and selects their candidate. Whether it will be Kamala or not, we don't know. But the general thought is it will be her for right now. But a lot of people are now beginning to speculate here. All right, well, they couldn't kill Trump. They couldn't force the plane to crash. So they hacked the campaign and didn't find any dirt. So maybe the last gap here is whatever happens on September 18th, where they sentence President Trump to prison. And that is a very real possibility. But if that happens, I predict it will be ugly, very ugly, ladies and gentlemen. But this is how evil and how dangerous the Democrats are. They are desperate. We have them cornered. Now, look, I want to be very clear about something. There's a lot of angst and anxiety out there in the social media worlds. I'm not anxious at all. As a matter of fact, I'm not buying any of the polling data that's coming out. As a matter of fact, there's a new survey that says that most Americans now trust Kamala Harris to fix the economy over Donald J. Trump. Does anybody with a working brain cell actually believe that? Now, keep in mind that Kamala Harris has yet to even release a single policy. Well, she released one policy over the weekend. I'll get to that in just a moment. But she has yet to release anything. We don't know anything about her campaign except that she wants it to be about joy and the cackle. And by the way, what's up with that vice president of hers? Have you seen this guy, Tim Walz, out there? And it's originally it was like, I'm the football coach. But now he's coming out. Hey, everybody, jazz hands. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm the VP. Come here, children. Where's me a horse? I don't get that. I do not get that. But, yeah, it was like over the weekend he was out there and shaking the hands, doing the jazz hands like he's on like some Broadway, you know, show choir. It's all really weird. And dare I say off-putting. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, Kamala's out there. She hasn't released any platform, no agenda. And she is not sitting down for any interviews at all. None whatsoever. And all I can tell you is God bless J.D. Vance, because he went out there over the weekend. And this guy is learning, and he's learning quickly. And I like this. Wasn't too sure. It was a rocky start. But now J.D. Vance is out there and he is doing exactly what he needs to be doing. So anyway, J.D. Vance is out there and he's asking, hey, where's Kamala? Why isn't she sitting down with you folks like we are? Why isn't she doing the interviews? Cut number 9.
I respect the American people enough to sit down for an interview.
I appreciate that.
Kamala Harris has been the nominee for 3 weeks. She hasn't sat down for a real
Believe
interview.
Believe me, we are asking.
She doesn't really talk to the media like at all. She hasn't answered, I think, a single tough question. Should she sit down and answer tough questions with you?
Yes,
I think she should.
Absolutely.
Where is she?
Well,
we respect the American people enough.
We hope she'll be on the show soon.
They mm-hmm. should clarify it, maybe in an interview with you, but of course Kamala Harris refuses to do interviews with anybody.
Well, we hope to have her on and ask her
me
about
too.
That.
The person who wants to be our president ought to sit down for some tough interviews. It goes to a very fundamental difference between the Trump-Vance ticket and our opposition. We believe in talking to the media. We believe in answering questions. We believe in debating. I think it's really important.
Yeah, I do too. And I thought the news nugget out of all of that is that CNN and ABC have actually been trying to get interviews, but they are being rebuffed by Kamala Harris. Why is that not the lead story? And by the way, here's what they need to do. This is what CNN and MSDNC and ABC, CBS, NBC, this is what they all need to do. They need to get together, hold a joint press conference and say, you know what? Until Kamala Harris agrees to sit down and do an in-depth interview with us, we will no longer broadcast her rallies. We will no longer cover any campaign events until she sits down and does an interview. But they're not going to do that. Because they know this woman is a dingbat. She's a dangerous dingbat, but she's a dingbat. This woman cannot form a cohesive sentence in her brain, in her mind. She cannot do it. She has no policies, which is why they're literally stealing Trump's. And this is what gets me. And this is why it's dangerous. Again, most Americans, they're not paying attention to any of this, but you are, because you are the smartest audience in all of talk radio. And I hear that from many of the lawmakers who come onto this program, and you guys are sending them notes and thoughts and critiques of their interviews, and you guys understand what's really going on here. But the average person doesn't. So when they hear that Kamala Harris has announced, I'm going to work very hard to make sure that you are no longer, your tips are no longer taxed, then they believe that. They have no idea that Donald Trump actually came up with that policy first. Donald Trump did that. But hey, and by the way, the campaign, the Harris campaign, they're talking about getting tough on the border. Now they're talking about, well, we're going to make America great again. That's what our slogan's going to be. So don't be surprised when you see Coach Tampon Timmy coming out onto the stage later today or whatever, and he's like, "Hi guys, hi Coach Timmy here. We're going to make America great again." Oh my Lord. That's what they're doing. And look, there's a large swath of the population that will actually believe that. I was talking to a lady yesterday at church. She came over to me and she says, Todd, I have family members and they're conservative, but they don't watch, you know, they're really not plugged in. And that they actually think that Kamala is going to win this. You can't believe the media coverage. Don't, folks, it is a strategy, and I don't want you to get it caught up in all of this. I really don't. So anyway, here's Donald Trump first announcing no tax on tips, and here's Kamala, cut 11.
Because when I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips, people making tips.
Eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
All right. Now, let me give you the facts here. The fact is, it is Kamala Harris who is responsible for taxing the tips of waiters and waitresses and valets. She's responsible. She was the one who cast the tie-breaking vote on Capitol Hill to move forward with President Biden's agenda to give the IRS millions and millions of dollars to launch a task force so that people could self-report their tips. She's responsible for that. It was a tie vote. She had to come in as president of the Senate, which is her only job that she has of substance as VP, and she cast the tie-breaking vote. So you want to know who's responsible for taxing you? It's Kamala Harris. She's responsible. But let's step back for just a moment here. This woman is in the Biden administration. She tells us she's there for all the big decisions. She's giving advice. She's giving counsel. She's in the room. So ultimately, she is now responsible for owning what's happening at our border. She is responsible for what happened with everything in this country because she is right there alongside the decrepit president. All right, look, we got to take a break here. Now, look, here's the deal. I know some of you are very concerned. Some of you don't like the tone and the tenor. Some of you are freaking out about the polling data. If you are concerned about how the campaign is being run, I want you to give us a call here. We're going to talk about it. But I'm telling you, folks, we're going through a rough period of time right now, and it's going to take a little while to get all this sorted out. But at the end of the day, if President Trump sticks to the message, he's going to win. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know what is not a winning message? Talking about whether or not Kamala Harris's crowds are AI generated. That's not a winning message. But you know what is? Talking about how much it costs to buy groceries, how much it costs to fill up your gas tank. Those are winning issues for the Republicans. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. Today, you have the power to relieve suffering for children throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, these are children who do not have reliable access to the essentials of life, like food or clean water. But today, you can change that. I'm partnering with Food for the Poor to rush emergency food relief to hungry children and to provide a community with access to water. Now, this is a headline that you can do something about. Today, because of a match, your generous gift of $200 provides four children with a year's worth of food and helps a community gain access to fresh water. There are several ways to make your gift. Go to ToddStearns.com and click on the red Give Life banner, or you can call my toll-free number at 855-353-4673. That's ToddStearns.com. Click on the red Give Life banner or call my toll-free number 855-353-HOPE. Oh, wow, this is good news. So remember the kids we told you a couple of weeks ago? There were a couple of teenagers at Keller High School in Texas. And these boys are seniors. And the way it works here, I think it cost a couple of $100. You can pay to have your own private parking space. You know, we ought to do that here at the News Bunker. I wonder how much Dieter would pay for his own private parking space. All right, we'll work on that. And then you get to decorate it. So you can paint an image. You can do really whatever you want to do. And so these two kids painted a Trump mural. One of the guys, it was very simple. The numbers 45 and 47. And the other guy was really creative. And he painted an image of Donald Trump with red, white, and blue aviator glasses and a red, white, and blue bandana. And it said Trump. I love it. So anyway, the school, as you know, you might remember the story. The school said, no, you can't do that. Those things are offensive. They never told the kids what exactly was offensive. It was very patriotic, unless there's something evil or racist about the numbers 45 and 47 that I don't know about. So anyway, after we told the story, we shared the story on my Newsmax show, a lot of you folks called the school board, raised holy you-know-what, and then the school backtracked almost immediately. And the mayor of Keller, Texas, and several board members, got behind the kids. And the long story short is that the murals are back up now. And this is great. By the way, one of the guys is riding a big old white pickup truck, as you would expect in Texas, and there is a massive Trump flag in the back of the truck bed. By the way, Dylan, I got you a Trump flag. It's downstairs.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was at the big rally over the weekend.
I know.
There were a couple of other profane flags that I thought might be inappropriate since you're involved in Young Life.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you considering me there.
I thought about it. Dieter, on the other hand, did you see the shirt I got Dieter?
Oh, yeah. Wear it while he runs.
He needs to run very fast.
Yep.
So anyway, well done, guys. Well done, young men. And these are the kinds of patriots we need to really get out that next generation of voters. And folks, that's why I'm excited about this. I am excited because I see what's happening at these rallies. Trump's not bringing on some big rapper, he's not bringing Taylor Swift. Thank you, Mr. President. No, people are coming to see him. By the way, at that rally in Vegas with Kamala, it was unbelievable. People were literally walking out during the speech. And you know why? Because they were there to see the musicians. They wanted to get a free concert. Oh, by the way, you had to get a reservation and you had to show your ID to get into that Kamala Harris rally. I thought that was racist. I thought showing IDs was racist. What's up with that? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position. And it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let's go to Dennis in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Dennis. What's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, hey, first of all, we really enjoy you on Newsmax and, WDUN. But the one thing, what really grabs me, they call Trump. But they call Kamala Harris Kamala, like she's my niece. I mean, come on. And how about this other guy, Chuck Schumer? He sounds like my bowling partner. It's Charles. I mean, he's not my buddy. Things like that just really get me.
Oh, really? Do you have a niece named Kamala?
No, and if I did, I'd change her name.
Wow. Well, I certainly, yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. We actually had a lady call in one day. We were calling for a long time. We would call Joe Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden. Now, that's his middle name. And some lady called in, and I think she may have been a WDUN listener, Dennis, and she said, Todd, you got to stop. That's my maiden name, Robinette. I don't want to be associated. So I think I understand where you're coming from.
Well, if some people may think, you know, that's a little childish, but really, Trump is start calling him Donald. There we go, or Donnie instead of like Chuck.
Donnie, I don't know. It's you know, there's something about Donald Trump that just commands respect. You know, when you see him, it's always, you know, Mr. President or Mr. Trump. I don't know if many people actually call him Donald.
I don't know, and how about that? The vice president, whatever, the guy running with her. You're right. Hi, ho, ho. You know, he's just hollering, and it's like a Boy Scout jamboree. Let's just pray, hope and pray that Donald and JD come through. Because my wife and I, we're going to come through for those guys, and let's hope a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dennis, and we've just got to get out the vote, and they're going to try to demoralize people. And that's what – this is really a psychological campaign that's going on. It's psychological warfare, and they're using the media, they're using big tech, and they want to depress the Trump enthusiasm. And we just can't – we can't let that happen, Dennis.
Well, one last thing, Todd. When – you know, as far as Trump saying no tax – on tips. Well, to show you how much, a good friend of mine, I mentioned that to him. He said, where'd you hear that? Well, that's because they don't listen to Fox or Newsmax. They listen to these yahoos on MSNBC, ABC, and all these. They don't, they preach. It's just, that's why we got to make sure we let other people know.
That's it, Dennis. It's a great call. Appreciate you listening to us, and thanks for watching us on Newsmax as well. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of backlash now coming from our friend Megan Basham. She was on a couple of weeks ago. Her brand new book came out, and she did a deep dive into the evangelical Christian movement in America, and she laid out all of the evidence that showed. And I warned her at the time. I said, you better get ready. You better buckle up because they're going to be coming after you. I mean, big, you know, the evangelical Christian movement is a big business. I mean, it really is. And these mega churches especially are just, they're bringing in the money like nobody's business. So anyway, we had Megan on the show, the radio show and Newsmax to promote the new book. And man, all you know what has broken loose. She did a great job of explaining how George Soros money was being used to basically turn many of our churches, many of our seminaries into far left organizations that are straying from the tenets of the Christian faith. And we're seeing that play out in real time, where you have people out there now in these pulpits that are saying, oh, you can't be a proud American because that's a sin. Oh, you can't love your country and celebrate the 4th of July because that makes you a Christian nationalist. And there are a couple of guys and organizations. You've got David French, who, by the way, wrote a piece on over the weekend for the New York Times saying that to save the conservative movement, he's voting for Kamala Harris. What? Who does that? How do you explain, how do you justify voting for not only Kamala Harris, but Coach Jazz Hands, who actually believes and is on the record as saying that a baby should be allowed to be aborted after it has been delivered? How do you square that? So now there's a new group called Evangelicals for Harris. And our friend Laura Loomer has been doing a deep dive into these folks. And these are some very bad people that are a part of this organization. Many of them do not like white people at all. Now you say, well, Todd, it's Laura Loomer. You follow Laura Loomer? I do. And I know she gets a lot of blowback. I know she gets a lot of hate mail, and people love to hate on her. And yet she may do things that I disagree with. But when you take the whole, this woman is right on the money. She's got sources that nobody else has. And these sources are 1,000% correct. Really, Todd? All right. Well, what about when she said that Joe Biden had a medical emergency in Las Vegas? It was all a lie. Well, not so fast. Over the weekend, word came out that Joe Biden, when he was in Las Vegas, remember, these were the moments that led up to Biden announcing he was not going to run for re-election. Joe Biden had just been diagnosed allegedly with the China virus. He was in Vegas getting ready to fly back. The guy could barely make it up the stairs. You remember the video images. He could barely make it off of the plane once he got to Delaware. And Laura Loomer reported at the time that Joe Biden had suffered some sort of a medical emergency and that the hospitals were being alerted and prepared for him to arrive. And every major news publication in America, every single one of them, said, nope, didn't happen, not true. They said, no, the reason why the White House pool, the press reporters were not allowed to travel on the plane is they had somewhere else to go. And everybody believed it. Well, over the weekend, local Las Vegas news reporters got a hold of the actual police scanner traffic. And ladies and gentlemen, the scanner traffic very clearly states that Joe Biden had a medical emergency. We don't know what that medical emergency was, and it would be nice at today's White House press briefing if maybe we could get James Rosen over at Newsmax to ask the question. What kind of a medical emergency did Joe Biden have? Now, a lot of people are suggesting that because eventually they decided not to go to the hospital and they just rushed him right over to Air Force One. And if you remember the reporting from somebody on board, it was the fastest flight they had ever made. And, of course, people were explaining all of this away. But now we know that there was something else going on. Now, I'm going to speculate here, and I suspect that what happened is that Joe Biden suffered some sort of a mini stroke. And these mini strokes are just as potent as a full-blown stroke, and the symptoms mimic each other. And after you get over it, and it's really within, you know, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, and you're over it, but it completely discombobulates you for the rest of the day. You're in the bed. And that's what I suspect happened in Las Vegas. But we need to get to the bottom of it, right? Don't we? I mean, I would think so. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we've got a lot more to talk about here, including, you know what, we'll play this audio now. Donald Trump, a couple of weeks back, said that he would not be surprised if Joe Biden crashed the DNC in Chicago. And a lot of people said, oh, there he goes again. Come on, man. No. It's, and a lot of people thought this was like a conspiracy theory. But the amount of information that Trump had gave me pause. And the word is that Biden and his family are very angry with how all of this went down. And now we're getting some new intel, which is bolstering Trump's argument that Biden may not be quite done. So over the weekend, Joe Biden doing a sit-down interview, and he explains, he admits that he really was forced out of the race, and he explains why he was forced out of the race. Cut number 7.
Look, the polls we had showed that it was neck and neck race. Would have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing me about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so? And I thought it would be a real distraction.
So he thought that it would be a distraction. He didn't think that. The people who ordered him out, and that was Barack Hussein Obama and Nancy Pelosi, by the way, she was involved in all of this. So this had nothing to do with the presidency. It had nothing to do with his health. This was all about the down ballot races. You had a lot of senators and congressmen out there freaking out because they were afraid they were about to be bounced out of their jobs. By the way, tomorrow, Tuesday, Ilhan Omar facing a Democrat challenger, she could end up losing that race. So we're marking down. So far, two members of AOC's squad have already been defeated in primaries. So then Nancy Pelosi does an interview, and this was bizarre. And I know she says she doesn't drink booze. I think she guzzles it. I think this is a matter of semantics. She says, oh, I don't drink, but I don't know about that, ladies and gentlemen. Cut 13.
I didn't accept the letter as anything but a letter. I mean, in another, there are some people who were unhappy with the letter. Let me say, some said that some people were unhappy with the letter. I'll put it in somebody else's mouth. Because it was it didn't sound like Joe Biden to me.
Oh, my God, you can smell the vodka from here. So anyway, there are a couple of things that you can pull out of this. First of all, she's saying that she never accepted the letter. She's talking about Biden's resignation letter, that weird letter that appeared on his personal letterhead on X. And clearly the signature did not belong to Joe Biden. So somebody forged his signature on the letter. And according to Nancy Pelosi, somebody else actually wrote the letter because she says this doesn't sound like something Joe Biden would write. So, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me just on those two nuggets that dropped over the weekend that the only story the entire media ought to be focused on today is the fact that there was a coup to take out Joe Biden. But nobody wants to talk about that. They don't want to talk about it, but they got to talk about it. So I'm curious here, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think Joe ought to do? Do you think Joe ought to get Jill and Hunter and who's the daughter that he used to take showers with, Ashley? Do you think the whole Biden crime syndicate, they ought to head over to Chicago and try to get back into the race? I think that is a brilliant idea.
I think that's exactly what they ought to do. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
In the next hour, we're going to play the actual police dispatch of the medical emergency that Joe Biden suffered in Las Vegas. And again, the media is not talking about this, but we need to get the specifics here. What exactly happened to Joe Biden? Then we need to talk about Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
I mean, this guy, when you look at his record, and, you know, I know a lot of people are having a lot of fun with some of the salacious allegations out there that we're not allowed to talk about on the radio because of FCC rules and regulations governing family content. But when you look beyond that, the bigger story here is stolen valor and the fact that this guy went out there not just once, and that's what Pete Buttigieg is out there saying, well, he only did it one time. No, it was multiple times. Over and over and over again, this man lied. And this story is not going away. I am telling you, I am still not convinced that Kamala and Tim Walz.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they're going to be I just don't think they're going to be the nominees. I really don't. Something's going to happen between now and Chicago. And I think this guy gets the heave-ho first. I truly do. Let's go to the phones here. Mary, North Carolina, WTKF. Hi, Mary. What's on your mind?
Hi, Ted. Todd, good afternoon. God bless you. Listen, I just wanted to share something interesting. A lady at church has a godson, and he comes over and he says, you know, they call her Grammy. And he says, do you know he has a double? Joe Biden has a double. She says, what are you talking about? He says, there's a lady called Julie Green Ministries, and there's a colonel that has a show on YouTube, and they think that there's a double, and the CIA prepared a mask. And supposedly it's all on YouTube. I haven't been able to find it. But isn't that interesting that they would have a double? I mean, I don't know if anything's possible.
You mean like a body double? Like that's not the real, yes, Biden we're seeing? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there is a real Biden, but when he's very ill, they use the double. That's what they are saying. Julie Green Ministries, and it's His Glory on YouTube. His Glory on YouTube. And he's a retired military. He knows some colonels and generals and blah, blah, blah. And supposedly, the one that's been running the country is Obama. Obama's been running the country.
Unless Obama's got a body double, and then that guy could be running the country. That kind of creeps me out, Mary.
But it's all on YouTube. I am looking for it, and that's the information. His Glory is the retired military man that has all the intel.
Wow.
And then she's a prayer warrior or something out of Idaho or Iowa.
Well, she would know.
They're trying to shut her down. And you know, and then the general, she says, he says, oh, they're always watching. They're always watching. The three.
All right. Mary, I do this. I got to go. I will say this as we go to break, though. I don't know about this, but I will say the only thing worse than one Kamala Harris would be two Kamala Harrises. Could you imagine? Sweet mercy. All right, hang tight. Hour two coming up next.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the big show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, all of you folks in the Memphis area, if you live in Arkansas, Mississippi, or Western Tennessee, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a big gathering. Americans for Prosperity is going to be in town, and we're going to have a wonderful event. Senator Marsha Blackburn will be there, Congressman David Kustoff, yours truly. Also, Kane, all of you wrestling fans, Kane's going to be there. You know, he's the mayor of, what, Knoxville or Knox County. It's going to be a lot of fun working our way through Bidenomics, and we'd love for you to be there. It is free of charge. It will not cost you a penny, and it's at the Germantown Performing Arts Center. So if you're in town tomorrow morning, we would love for you to swing by and say hello. Want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, you see him every Saturday and Sunday on TBN, also on Newsmax. Our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee. And, Governor, I have to tell you what happened at church yesterday.
What happened?
So I go to and what's unusual, I think, is that it happened in one of these large churches. I go to one of the large mega churches in the Memphis area. And I got there early, so I'm sitting there, and we're chatting in the pews, drinking a cup of coffee. And one of the ladies, one of the older ladies, she turns around to the person that was seated right next to me, and she starts pulling out produce. So she was like, oh, I've got the tomatoes you wanted. And so I guess she has a big garden. And so it was like I was at the produce section at Kroger. She was handing out all sorts of, field peas and everything to the congregants.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I need to find out what church that is, because the produce sounds really good and probably better than the supermarket variety.
We have something in this area of Tennessee called Ripley tomatoes, grown in Ripley, Tennessee. And those, I think, are some of the best. Those are Mississippi red tomatoes. You can't get much better than that in the summertime. I just thought it was funny that, you know, people were literally hauling out produce out of their purses to give away at church. You know you're in the South.
I love it.
You know you're in the South. Well, Governor, a lot going on, and I want to get to what happened at the Olympics in just a few moments. But MSNBC, they have some brand-new polling data that came out, and I find this fascinating. Dylan, let's play that clip I just sent you.
With young people, is there any data on that?
So what's interesting is that young voters, and also ended up black voters, didn't change all that much between where Biden was in Pennsylvania in July and where Harris is now.
So apparently the polling data out there shows there has been very little movement in spite of all of the hype in the media surrounding Kamala Harris. Are you surprised by that?
Not a lot. I do think that Kamala Harris is getting a bump, all the attention that she's getting from the media. They're giving her a pass on not sitting down for an interview, answering questions, dealing with the big mess that she's got with Tim Walz and his military record, more lying about it than actually having one. It's honorable that he has one. It's not honorable that he lied about it and said he went to war. It's like Dick Blumenthal saying he went to Vietnam when he didn't. But I think what's interesting is that a lot of these polls are showing the race is tightening up. I think that's probably true. I think it'll get even tighter, and maybe Kamala comes out of the Democrat convention with a lead. But ultimately, at some point, she's going to have to answer for the record of Bidenomics. And if Donald Trump will just stay focused on contrast and compare, stay away from the person and the personality, stick to the policies, then I think it turns around after Labor Day.
Does President Trump risk losing votes if he keeps up the name calling and the personal attacks as opposed to just sticking with policy?
Absolutely. I mean, I talk to people every single day. They're Trump supporters. Some of them really would like to be Trump supporters, but they're upset with the personal attacks, and they just can't get around it. You know, my attitude is I'm not voting on a person or a personality. I'm voting on policies because I think people get all tuned up about, well, who's the nicest person? Well, I'm sure Ted Bundy seemed really nice to the people just before he killed him, but he still was a serial killer. I'm not suggesting that other candidates are serial killers. That's something the press would say. Mike Huckabee said that Kamala Harris is a serial killer. I did not say that. What I'm saying is that it's not about personality. It's not about the person. It is about the policy. I'm shocked that there are people who say, well, I can't vote for Donald Trump because, you know, I think character matters. So do I. So investigate Kamala Harris. But here's the bigger issue. You know, there were people that worked for me in the governor's office. Not all of them were all nice all the time. There were people who did things that worked for me, true for all of my places where I've had employees. They did things I didn't personally like. Maybe they drank too much. Maybe they committed adultery. Maybe they used recreational drugs. But here's the point. They weren't hired or fired because of a personal life that I didn't get to control. What I did care about was, did they show up for work? Did they show up on time? And I couldn't penalize them for something that was not related to their employment. When I'm voting for a president, what I'm voting for is somebody that will lower my taxes, not raise them, that will deregulate small business problems that are just eating small business. I want someone to stand with Israel. I want someone to be pro-life. I want someone who will secure the border and actually punish crime and not weaponize the government. I only have one choice. Donald Trump's my choice. There is no other option. And for the people to say, well, I'm just going to vote for Kamala Harris, then please don't tell me you're conservative. Don't tell me that you're a Republican, because you're voting for a gun-grabbing, border-opening, Israel-hating, Hamas-supporting party that does not stand where you claim you stand.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000% there. And I think the never-Trumpers and the woke evangelicals, I think they've really exposed themselves for what they really are. Because you know what I find fascinating is not a single one of them is calling out Kamala Harris for any of these radical policies or Tim Walz for any of his radical policies. They're not blasting any of the churches that are hosting campaign events for them. And I think it really does expose the fact that these are not just good-hearted Republicans. These are Democrats.
They really are. Maybe they weren't in the past, but they are now. And if you can support Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and then one day they decide that if your little granddaughter goes to church camp and they put a biological boy who's 12 years old in the same cabin with her, then don't complain, because we told you it was coming. And that's what I think people have got to wake up to. There's a lot more at stake here than just how high your taxes are. That's important. But frankly, I'm far more concerned about what kind of country and culture we're going to have than even I am about whatever my marginal tax rate is going to be.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Governor, just a few moments ago, our good friend Joel Rosenberg writing this on X, He says speculation in Israel is growing that Iran and Hezbollah are set to launch their attack in the next 24 hours. So Lynn and I just flew back to Israel. So apparently they've been out doing meetings here in the States. They're back home. What are you hearing from your sources? I know you have a lot of very close friends in Israel.
Well, I've had many conversations just in the last few days with friends that are in Israel. I'm supposed to be there at the end of the month, and, you know, God willing, I'll be there to do some TV taping. And I'm hearing the same thing. Everybody is pretty much hunkering down. They've all been told to be prepared to be without electricity and utilities for up to 3 days, have enough food, be ready to be in the shelter in their home for 3 days or more, that they fully expect there to be a major attack. So we don't know if there will be, but I know that the Israelis are preparing for the worst and hoping and praying for the best, as we all are.
And it looks like the Pentagon is, they're relocating assets, submarines, the whole nine yards to Israel. What will this look like if Iran does, in fact, attack Israel?
Well, what it needs to look like is that the United States goes all in on helping Israel, because they have to understand deep down that an attack on Israel is only the prelude to the attack on the United States. The fact that Hamas still holds five American hostages, the fact that we've had over 200 attacks on our own U.S. forces from the proxies of Iran, there comes a point which Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and this administration needs to do more than just say don't, because the don't hasn't worked. And the only thing these monsters understand is a punch in the nose. And I'm not talking about a physical one. I'm talking about an existential punch in the nose. They need to get back to the sanctions that Donald Trump had on them that was bankrupting them. They wouldn't have the money for this warfare if it weren't for the fact that the Biden administration has loosened up all of the controls financially on Iran, made them prosperous, and they're using the money not for their people. They're using it to kill Jews and ultimately kill Americans. That's got to stop, and our military needs to be prepared to recognize that dealing with Iran right now is dealing not just with Israel's enemy, it's dealing with our enemy.
Well said, and we're going to be following that story. Finally, the Olympics are over, and that was a weird, you know, the opening was just really awful, but the ending was just as bad. It was weird. What do you make? I felt very unsettled watching that.
You know, the opening was just disgusting and depraved. The ending, I think weird is probably a good word, but, you know, I will say that sandwiched between that which the French controlled, the opening and the closing, I thought the Olympics had some of the best, most wonderful young athletes, particularly from America, who didn't show up to hate their country. It was so refreshing to see athletes, many of whom gave Christian testimony, but most all of whom were proud of the United States, proud to be representing the U.S., wrapped themselves in the flag, and competed with such a sense of joy and optimism and athleticism that I found that refreshing. And I sometimes wish that maybe we could skip the opening, skip the close, let it be all about the athletes. And I hope we continue to get a crop of athletes that have the same spirit of pro-America that I saw in most everyone who competed for the USA.
I learned more about pommel horses than I thought I needed to know. I mean, what a great story that was, a pommel horse guy. And then the speed climbing. Did you see the speed climbers?
That was interesting. I'm not sure it's really an Olympic sport, but I guess it could be. But Todd, my favorite, it's the breakdancing. I've decided I might be able to make it in the Olympics. I'm already working on my routine. I hope they keep it for the LA Olympics. But, hey, let's be honest. That's got to be the most ridiculous, inane, and un-Olympic thing that has ever happened in an Olympic Games.
I'm heading down to Cotton Eye Joe's, and I think we're going to try to get line dancing in for the Los Angeles Games.
I think checkers ought to be the next Olympic sport. I mean, it doesn't require a lot of heavy lifting, and it's mostly indoor activity.
I'll head over to Cracker Barrel, and we'll pull up a rocking chair, and we'll give it a go. Maybe we can be on the team. I don't know.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, what's coming up on the big show this weekend, Governor?
General Michael Flynn is going to be one of our guests this weekend, and we'll be talking about what he has gone through and much more. The Loving Spoonful will be our musical guest. And if you missed last week, oh my gosh, we had Dennis Quaid, John Voight, Penelope Miller, and Jennifer O'Neill, all from the upcoming Reagan movie, which opens August the 30th, the biopic of Ronald Reagan. Dennis Quaid plays Ronald Reagan in that. It's going to be spectacular. We're having fun. And by the way, people, if they don't know, we're now on every evening, Monday through Friday, 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern, on TBN with a daily 30-minute show.
It's great, folks. Huckabee.tv. Check it out. That's Huckabee.tv. Governor, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you.
Thank you, Todd. Take care.
All right. Governor Mike Huckabee, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. Did you? Yeah, I was watching the, Aiden Pettit, who does our trivia on Friday. So you got to watch these speed climbers. Dylan, have you seen these guys? They like climb up the these walls like they're spiders.
Todd, I thought you said speed clappers at first, and then I would have imagined that would be a new sport in the Olympics. But that, speed climbers sounds a little bit more realistic.
It's unbelievable. But this breakdancing, the chick from Australia, the white chick from Australia,
oh, yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't either. Whoa. I feel like I could be an Olympic athlete if that's
I thought she was having a medical episode.
Tough.
I just don't understand. By the way, LeBron James, I should have asked the governor about this. So many, many years ago, before you were born, Dylan, there was a great football player named Mean Joe Green. And it was probably one of the best commercials. He was a big old dude, but he was a lovable kind of a curmudgeonly kind of a guy. Anyway, Coca-Cola, they did a commercial. It took place after a football game, and Mean Joe Green was beat up, and he was just really having a – he had a bad game. So anyway, he comes across this little boy – in the right outside the locker room, and let's play that commercial.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
Want my Coke?
No.
Really, you can have it.
A Coke and a smile.
Okay.
I feel good.
Thanks.
That's the way it should be. I like to see
you
and the whole world smiling with me. Coca-Cola has life.
That's pretty cool. And so anyway, gave the kid his jersey. Dylan's getting a little teary-eyed over there. They don't make commercials like that anymore. So anyway, last night after the, was the night before last, after the basketball team beat the French to win the gold medal in basketball, LeBron James goes out to dinner. He's getting out of the car, and as he's getting out of the car, there's a little boy there, and he clearly asked very politely, can I get a picture? He was wanting to get a selfie or a photo with LeBron. And he starts yelling at the kid, stop, stop, stop. And then one of the entourage shoves the kid aside. And then he goes in and he's like hugging everybody and high five, does a whole attitude change, you know, when he's in front of the other people. And then the poor kid is just sitting out there. He treated that kid with about as much respect as he treats the national anthem, the American flag. I mean, what a sleazy thing. And I look, the guy's a great athlete, no doubt about it. I mean, he's probably one of the best, but can we get real? I mean, the guy just dribbles a ball for a living and, you know, puts it into a hoop, all right? I mean, he's very good at it. Don't get me wrong here, but geez, aloo. So anyway, there you go. LeBron James winning the gold, but losing a fan at the Paris Olympics. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, folks, be sure to head over to toddstearns.com. We have some incredible resources for you. And one of the things that we have noticed with social media especially is that they are continuing to block pro-Trump, pro-conservative content, and especially anything to do with religious liberty or the alphabet activist. So that's why we want you to go over, bookmark our page, and we don't spam you. You sign up for our newsletter. That's all you're going to get. You don't have to worry about us sharing your emails with anybody else. We just don't do that. So, again, these are free resources for you. And we also have some things you can buy, including my brand new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? President Trump says it's the one book you need to read before the elections. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang tight. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I want to play some audio here. This is a little bit long, but you need to hear this. J.D. Vance just crushing it on the weekend shows, going toe-to-toe with CNN's Dana Bash over Tim Walz and the stolen valor allegations. Cut 15, please.
And on the question of when he left the National Guard, he filed his election paperwork February 10th, 2005. That was a month before the National Guard even announced that it was possible that they would deploy to Iraq, and it ended up being 2 months. He retired 2 months before they actually got the paperwork.
But on CNN last night, Dana, one of the people who was actually in charge of him said they knew they were going to deploy to Iraq in fall of 2004. So he knew he was going to Iraq. He decided to quit, to retire, whatever word you want to use.
Retire.
Because he wanted to run for Congress. He lied about that. He said that when he decided to retire, he did not know that he was going to Iraq. That is another untruth, as even his senior military officer said. So again, I'm not criticizing the service. I'm criticizing the dishonesty. Dishonesty spoken in favor and for the purpose of political benefit. And I think that the most important thing here, Dana, is it goes to Kamala Harris's judgment. Tim Walz is ultimately going to be the vice president. Kamala Harris is in great health. I'm sure she's going to be president if she wins for 4 or maybe even 8 years. Why did Kamala Harris choose a person who has lied about their military service? I think that is a serious lapse in judgment. And I don't want to hear from a campaign spokesperson of Kamala Harris. I want to hear Kamala Harris herself address what I just said.
You know, I've seen a lot of statements from veterans, including those you serve with, saying it's just untoward to be criticizing somebody who served for 24 years.
Dana, I'm not interested in the ad hominem. I've heard from a lot of veterans groups who criticize Tim Walz. The question is, he said he served in war, and he didn't. That is a dishonesty. I couldn't care less what one or the other person says about it. I care about what the truth is. The truth is that Tim Walz didn't tell the truth. And importantly, Dana, this is about Kamala Harris's judgment. And I think that when you ask, why has Kamala Harris allowed the border to be wide open? Why has Kamala Harris supported policies that have promoted the increase in inflation? I think it goes to the heart of her judgment, and I think that that's what we should be talking about.
One last question. Donald Trump didn't serve in the military. He received a medical draft deferment for bone spurs to avoid serving in the Vietnam War, reportedly as a favor to his father. Do you find that shameful, too?
I think that Donald Trump didn't serve in the military, but he didn't lie about it, Dana. I've known Donald Trump for a long time.
He honors me for my service.
Donald Trump didn't lie about serving in the military. He didn't say that he went to Vietnam when he didn't. This is the problem. I don't criticize anybody. Whether they served our country or not, I think it's honorable to serve. But obviously, a lot of people have reasons for not serving. I criticize somebody for embellishing their record, for lying, saying, I went to war. Dana, do you think that it's a problem that he said, I went to war, but he didn't actually? That seems to be a problem to me.
Well, they've corrected that. Let's move on.
All right, there you go. And that's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. And he wasn't mean. He wasn't nasty. He was just bombarding, carpet bombing CNN with facts. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Jessie Jane Duff. She is the 2024 Campaign Executive Director for Veterans for Trump. Jessie Jane, what an honor to have you with us. Hope you're doing good today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. I'll tell you what, J.D. Vance is a lot classier than I am because he handled her so smoothly, and I was just cringing because she was literally not even acknowledging what the sergeant major of that command had stated, that Walt knew that they were going to deploy to Iraq in the fall prior to him submitting his retirement paperwork. And I have just recently read that he got promoted in March and submitted he got promoted and he was only in the position of sergeant major 45 days before he had submitted his retirement paperwork. And it was clearly obvious to the entire command that it was to avoid deployment to Iraq because he bypassed the command, went around them. And then when they showed up in May to have their meeting before the deployment, he was a no-show, and they found out that he had retired after telling them he would show. I mean, it's just on its face, not appropriate, unprofessional, disparaging to the service of the others. And had he submitted his paperwork appropriately, they would have given him a stop loss, which he would have not been allowed to exit the military at that time with the pending deployment.
Now, Jesse Jane, you are a military veteran, and I'm wondering how you're interpreting all of this and how it makes you feel as a veteran.
Listen, okay, so I take the politics out of this for a second. You know, I am on the Trump campaign. I obviously am lockstep behind J.D. Vance. But as a 20-year United States Marine Corps veteran, I retired a gunnery sergeant. I was on active duty. I was not in the National Guard that primarily has weekend services. I was disgusted that this man would retire, put on his campaign websites that he was a command sergeant major, knowing that he only served in that billet 45 days, which you cannot retire at because he never completed the command sergeant major school. He had never done the time required to hold on to that rank. You just can't get promoted and get that retirement acknowledgement as serving in something for 45 days. This is equivalent to me getting selected for first sergeant, never actually fulfilling the duties, and then retiring and claiming I'm a first sergeant. We all know on active duty that's inappropriate. We know this. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he got away with it because the Minnesota media failed to vet him. They were told by the National Guard. The sergeant major out there spoke out. Several spoke out. They wrote a letter to the paper, and they dismissed it. So here we are now, fast forward, and I dare to say the Harris campaign was maybe somewhat aware of it, but dismissed it also because they said, well, he's already been governor. He's already been vetted. He already was in Congress. And everybody kept repeating and regurgitating this command sergeant major title without ever going back and verifying what these sergeant majors had reported. Then we recently found the article written by his commander who basically said he did them all a favor because he was a weak leader. And they replaced him with somebody far more qualified. He basically got kicked in the you-know-where by the commander who was grateful he was gone. I'm stunned as a veteran. This was an insult to all of those who had gone into a combatant operation, whether they were the infantry or a support unit, did their duty. Many of them lost their limbs, their lives, their families. Divorce rates escalate. Suicide rates escalate. Many of them do come back and become awesome, productive citizens, but they can be proud of that service. They don't have to be ashamed. And those of us who did not go into a theater never, ever, ever make the claim that we did, as Walt has done.
It's a great point you're bringing up. And again, I'm just really surprised the Harris campaign did not do a deep dive, but maybe they did. And maybe they felt like, okay, this is not going to be that big of a deal. Do you think now here we are, do you think the guy is going to be able to survive all of this?
I don't think he will. So as the coalition director, now speaking from a campaign standpoint, as the executive director of Veterans for Trump, we have the largest coalition of veterans who have signed up to support Donald J. Trump, the largest of all the coalitions. We have close to 200,000 military men and women and their families that have signed up to support this president. It's enormous. And the rage that I am seeing daily, primarily I'm on Twitter, but Facebook is running it, every last site you can see. Veterans aren't letting this go. It is basically awakened sometimes the sleeping giant. This is the largest group of a voting bloc that you probably have in the country. 22.5 million veterans. Many of them are Korean War, Vietnam War, Iraq, Afghanistan, post 9/11, obviously veterans, and they're young and they're very aware of what this man has tried to pull off and take great credit for when he never did it. He had overwhelmingly allowed people on television, in Congress, political leaders to pat him on the back and say that he was a combatant service man, that he was a combatant soldier, that he had also served in Afghanistan. They repeatedly called him a command sergeant major. And when you look at the video clips of him on television, he never once corrects anybody. He shines under it. So to your point, I think they baked it in. They figured because he had gotten elected to governor, it didn't matter. It wasn't going to upset anybody. It's like Joe Biden got away with saying in desegregating the schools, it would be a jungle out there if you desegregated schools. I thought that would sink Joe Biden. Apparently not. All of the repulsive statements he had made that were racist, I thought those would sink Joe Biden. Apparently not. But what they underestimated was the will, the tenacity, the fortitude, and the fight that is in every single veteran for what they earned. The honor to serve their country, it is not a privilege, and the ability to come back with dignity and say that they did what they needed to do to keep our country free. And this man takes a blanket credit without putting any invested time or labor or heartache into it. It's disgusting. So that, as a Marine Corps retired gunnery sergeant, I say he has lost the respect of probably every single veteran out there, and those that are turning a blind eye to it are just so intoxicated with being a Democrat that they're going to try to excuse this. But it's made 99% of the veterans out there stomach turn. And I know those vets that have been supporting Harris know they have a problem because they know how reprehensible this is.
And I would like to hear from our listeners. I know we have a lot of active duty and also veterans that listen to the program. And I'm curious, folks, do you believe that Tim Walz can continue on, or should he step aside, or should the Harris campaign drop him from the ticket? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Jesse James, one of the other just weird, the whole ticket is just weird. And now they're embracing all of Trump's policies. She is refusing to sit down to do an interview. But then somebody actually interviewed, which I believe is the stereotypical Kamala Harris supporter. Cut number six, please.
Why are y'all voting for Kamala Harris?
I don't want to lose my rights. Like, I'm a trans man, and I'm gay, and I have been pregnant, and I've had an abortion before, and I don't want to lose that. I'm afraid of not being able to be myself anymore, because from what I've heard, Trump's America doesn't want me to look like this, so that's why I'm here today, and that's why I'm voting blue.
What about you?
I've also been pregnant and had an abortion before. I was a minor, and it would have been dangerous for me to properly, like, it would have been dangerous for me to carry a baby with, like, personal reasons and everything. I also, like, I'm very, you know,
alternative,
and I feel like if Trump were to win, I wouldn't be able to, like, express myself through my looks and everything, and wouldn't be able to have the piercings or the dyed hair or the tattoos that I want. You know, I would be able to be myself. And my dad's very pro-Trump, and I'm just very
pro-Kamala.
Pro-Kamala. Yeah, I don't, you know.
Okay, enough of that. Jesse, I didn't realize what Trump's anti-tattoo. What? I didn't know that. It's
right. Anti-tattoo, anti-purple hair, anti-woman who thinks she's a man, but she's gay. So wait, I'm confused here. So is she a gay man who used to be a woman, or is she a woman that's a man that's now a lesbian? I'm completely upside down on that. I saw that interview several times, and they're not a solid representation of what the American people are concerned about. Americans are not concerned about your sexuality, all in all, really. As long as you don't push it upon children and you're conducting yourself appropriately in public spaces, what goes on in your bedroom is between you and whomever. But when it gets down to it, we know Donald Trump, we did not have 20% higher in our grocery prices. We didn't have escalation in our gas prices. We didn't have over 10 million illegals that have come into this country with 300 Americans a day dying from fentanyl drug abuse. I looked this up after I heard Doug Bergman say it, South Dakota governor, and I thought, that can't be right. I looked it up. It was a simple Google search, and yes, in 2023, 300 a day from fentanyl drug overdoses. Where is that coming from? Over the southern border. The drug cartels have got a stranglehold on this country. They obviously have a stranglehold somewhere within this the administration, because they've turned a blind eye to the human trafficking. These women do not think, for they better remember for 2 seconds, that women are not supported by Kamala Harris, because the biggest group that is exploited, abused, raped, and taken advantage of are the women coming over those borders. Multiple rapes are reported by many of these women by the cartels, let alone the people that are trafficking them. They are taken in a society that is very dark, and human trafficking among children and women and young boys is the worst. Don't even forget that the men are exploited also, because there's a $10 billion right. industry in this company, the country, to profit off of illegal labor.
All right, Jesse Jane, we got to leave it there. Appreciate your great insight, and we'll get you back on. We've got a long way to go here before November, but appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you very much, Todd, and everybody take the hill. We got Kamala Harris in the White House. Oh my goodness.
Oh, sweet mercy. All right, Jesse Jane Duff, everybody. She is the executive director for Veterans for Trump, and we're taking your calls on this, and I would like to hear from you, veterans. Do you believe that Tim Walz should be disqualified from serving? 901-260-5926. Real quick, let's go to Old Sarge calling in on WTJS in Tennessee. Hi, Old Sarge. What say you?
Good afternoon, Todd. Listen to you all the time. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Well, he needs to step down or be kicked out. We don't need somebody of his caliber having anything to do with the leadership of this nation. As a veteran of 26 years, some of that in combat, oh, man, everybody that retires or gets out after serving their time on their contract knows beyond a shadow of a doubt of their rank. It's self-embellishment. He's inflating his own ego and trying to spread his garbage to others, and we see right through it. It's wrong.
Old Sarge.
And as a vet,
Old Sarge.
And as a vet, I'll call him out on it.
Here, look, I did not serve, but I had many in my family who did, my dad, my grandfathers. So I'm that's where this question is coming from. It just seems to me that if you're 24 years in the National Guard and a month before you're supposed to retire, you find out that you guys are going to war. If that were me, I would not be retiring. I'd be going with the troops.
Well, let me tell you something. 2 weeks before I deployed one time, I had surgery. My first sergeant said, you can't go. You don't need to go. And I said, ain't no way, man. My place is with my men. We got to go together. We got to do our mission together. So I went. They gave me a waiver on doing PT for a little while and stuff, but I healed up on the way over to Iraq.
Wow.
And I stood with my men shoulder to shoulder. I didn't let surgery keep me from going.
Well, Sarge, we're gonna let you be. I'm curious, what branch did you serve in?
I served 14 in the Navy and 12 in the Army.
Well, God bless you, Sarge. You sound like a good man, a great Tennessee volunteer, and you give us a call back one of these days. Will you do that?
I'll tell you, I'm Old Sarge on the phone.
I love it. All right, Old Sarge from Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. Dropping some knowledge and some truth bombs on Tim Walz. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Hang tight if you're on the phones. We're going to get to your calls here momentarily. In the meantime, I want to encourage you to go check out NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Man, things are happening with Newsmax, and now you have a chance to actually become a part owner in Newsmax. You can buy preferred shares. All you need to do is go to NewsmaxInvest.com to check it out. Again, NewsmaxInvest.com. You're going to understand why Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. All right, don't go anywhere. Hour three coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun on X tonight. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. President Trump officially returning to X. I'm kind of glad he did. I mean, it's where everybody is. And right now, it is one of the few social media platforms that allows conservatives to actually have a voice. So the president tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, is doing an interview with Elon Musk. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be a part of that. And we'll be monitoring that as well. I do want to get to the phones. We've had some folks holding on for a while here, 901-260-5926. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Many of you have sons, daughters in the military. Many of you are veterans. Do you have a problem with Minnesota Governor Tim Walz faking and lying about his military service? We'd like to hear from you. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute, but I didn't serve in the military, but a lot of family members did, and my brother's a Navy SEAL during NAM. So, I have a problem with that guy. But with that and many, many other leftist things that he's known for. So I keep hearing people, both host, talk show host, and callers, being frustrated with Donald Trump because he's not on his game or whatever they say. You know, he won't stick to the issues. He's angry. He's whatever, discombobulated. Hello, people. Did you just have a bullet fire your way that almost ended your life? What we need to be doing, Todd, is we need to be supporting this man, praying for this man, and doing our part. And I am as negligent as the next person, but not anymore, sir, because I've got a hold of a number of organizations, and I'm going to try to do everything I can in the 90 days or whatever we got left in this campaign to help this guy get back in the White House. And until I do that, and unless I do that, I don't deserve to raise my voice at all in criticism of Donald John Trump.
Tom, I love your spirit and I love your attitude, and I'm with you 1,000%. Now, look, here's the challenge, and this is a challenge, but again, Donald Trump has to surround himself with people that will tell him, Mr. President, great idea, Mr. President, not a good idea. And you just have to be comfortable enough in your own skin to be able to do that, and I'm not sure that there are that many people with that mindset at working on the campaign right now. I want to give you an example, Tom. Over the weekend, there was a lot of hullabaloo about whether or not Kamala Harris was using AI to generate crowd size. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you whether or not it was real or not. I wasn't there, and neither were the people that were sharing these photos and saying, oh, this is AI. And I'm going to give you an example. Earlier today, there's a video on X, Tom, and it's got Kamala Harris and the governor in a classroom, and as they're talking to the children, the governor says, "Oh, Madam Vice President, we got to get a picture underneath this banner," and it was like for the Communist Revolutionaries of America. It looked like, Tom, it looked real. It looked like it. I took a screenshot. I'm like, holy cow. Well, it turned out it was all fake. And so my point is, before President, you know, I would hate for President Trump to see that and retweet it and say, oh, you know, they're commies. Well, yeah, they're commies. But in this instance, you're sharing a fake photo or a fake video in this case. And I think that's a concern. Is the president getting all the right information? Has this information been vetted before it gets to the president?
Yes, sir. And, Yeah, the AI thing is scary, and we've got plenty of ammo against them without having to resort to that. Just look at, just put up their own statements. And this is how bad they are. They're now, as you said earlier, they're now stealing his ideas and the Republican Party's ideas and claiming them as their own. They are shameless. They are sinister, i.e. evil and sneaky. And they will stoop to no ends to get the power and to increase it. That's the end of the story. That's them in a nutshell.
They're evil, man, evil. And Tom, I will say this. This AI stuff really concerns me because it's very difficult to know real from fake, and that is a dangerous thing. I could see us getting involved in world wars over AI-generated videos.
Yeah, yeah, and the Masters of War, if you remember that song by Bob Dylan.
Yes, sir.
You know, and the final verse, I love the final verse. And I'm not talking about defending our country and having all the munitions that we need, but the people who profit off of this to the nth degree. And he's talking to these masters of war in Dylan's final verse. He says, "And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. And I'll follow your casket on a pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead." And that's what those people deserve. And that's what the left deserves, because they are wicked, they are evil, and they are destroying the world.
All right, Tom, got to leave it there. John in North Carolina, what's on your mind?
Todd, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to report, and I'll make this quick, sir, another battle in our war to save our president. I live in a left-wing city called Asheville, North Carolina. I know you're familiar with it. You've been there. And what has happened, we have a local forum, and I've been following the forum for the past 2 days, and it seems that the liberals are buying the tickets or registering for the tickets, and they plan to no-show. There's a group of them that's coalesced against this, to make it look like that no one cares about seeing our president. So I think it's a disgrace. I think it's something that probably goes on in other cities, but, you know, I hate to see President Trump even waste his time in this city because he won't get any votes. He's too left-wing.
You know, it's really sad because I have been visiting Asheville for decades. Of course, Ridgecrest, which is where Southern Baptists go to summer. If you're a kid, you go to Ridgecrest in the summertime. We're talking, you know, 40 years going to that area. Of course, Billy Graham has his training center right outside of Asheville. So, John, people would normally think that's a very conservative area. But the problem is you guys are governed by far leftists. I mean, these people are like San Francisco liberals.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're sistered with Austin, Texas and San Francisco. It's really hard to believe the attitude that's here. It used to be a city of blue dog Democrats, okay? And that's okay. That's how it was years ago. And then it became conservative. It became red to a point. Then all of a sudden, all the libs started moving here. And it's a travesty. The town is, we have a real bad homeless population, just like other cities, but you wouldn't think that in this size city. Our hospital system even has gone terribly wrong. It's purchased by HCA, and people move here for the quality of health care, and it's less than desirable. It's just unbelievable how it has gone. It's not right, because it was a great place for many years.
Is it true that a majority of the council made up of women?
Yes, it is. And some of them are the LGBT orientation, which that's their business. But my point with that is they've got all these left-wing woke ideas, and that's what's wrong with the city. And something needs to be done to turn it around. But, you know, I'm just one of the old guys that's still left here, one of the natives, so I'm not going to be able to do too much about it.
Well, John, I hope you guys can, because you're right, it's a beautiful town, beautiful people there, and y'all deserve better. But I'm going to alert my people inside Trump world and let them know what's going on there, and maybe they can do something about it. But John, I appreciate you alerting us to that. All right, John in North Carolina. Let's go to Patty, listening to us on WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's going on?
Well, here's your crazy ultra MAGA girl. And I'm going to tell you something. Get off of Trump with that. Oh, he did this. It's just like the mean tweet thing. These people, if they get in, they're not Democrats. These are communists. They're commies. They are going to ruin this country. You heard before what you were talking to Jesse Jane, right? Those two girls were saying, oh, they were only worried about, what were they worried about, Todd? About abortion and about their sex change. That's who's voting for her.
Yeah, I got to, you know, Patty, I know this may be inappropriate, but I'm watching the video of those two girls. That would be the, hold on here. That's the transgender gay person who had an abortion. Oh, she's a trans man who is gay, was pregnant and had an abortion. I got to tell you, I'm kind of shocked that she found somebody that would actually go out on a date with her. But that's just me. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, but you know, this Walsh guy too. I had an uncle call me from Jersey. He served in Vietnam. I had two of them. And he said to me, there's no way. This guy is a disgrace. I don't think he's going to make it, Todd. I think you're going to get him off the ticket.
Yes. And they're going to have to. They're going to have to. I think even Democrats who served in the military have got to be outraged over this.
Right. And what about the other day, too? I want to just mention this real quick. What about the Girl Scouts? She met the Girl Scouts. And you know what? I'm thinking to myself, they keep this up, they're going to be Boy Scouts. Because this guy is crazy. Bernie Sanders, he makes Bernie Sanders look like Colonel Sanders. This guy is radical, radical.
Oh, big time, big time. Patty, you got to go take care of your dog there. I don't know what's going on.
Amazon just pulled up.
Oh, well, that'll do it. So, all right, well, Patty, we will talk to you later. Good hearing from you. Patty from North Carolina by way of Jersey. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. Folks, we're heading into a brand new week, and I just have to tell you how so proud I am of all of you guys. We have been raising money for our friends at Food for the Poor, and I know it's tough. I get it. The economy is just in the toilet, but there is still an opportunity for a lot of us to be able to help children that are in impoverished countries. They have no food. They have no water. And so all this month, I am partnering with Food for the Poor, and we're raising money to provide thousands of children with food, with two nutritious meals a day. That's all we're asking for, two nutritious meals a day for the next year. And also, we're working to give their villages access to clean drinking water. And a lot of this is only possible because of people like you, the folks who listen. Let's check in with Sarah, who, as a 16-year-old, wanted to share with us why she donated to Food for the Poor.
I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. And I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. But I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand. And each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two. And it's for Food for the Poor. And so this year I saved up $80 to give. And I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do. And so if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Bye.
Well, isn't that awesome? And again, she is making a sacrifice. Sarah is making a sacrifice. And in doing so, she is going to be able to help provide food and water for these kids in our own hemisphere. And I want to give a shout out to some of our listeners. These are the donations that have come in just so far today. Countee donating $100. Laura K., $42.30. Thank you, Laura K. Holly E. making a one-time donation of $52. Dorothy M. making a one-time donation of $100. Carol H., $210, a one-time gift. And that's the way you can do it, folks. It really doesn't matter how much you give, because every little bit helps. You can give once or you can give monthly. And either way, it is all going to help. And that's what it's all about. Again, if you would like to donate, go to my website, toddstearns.com. You will see the banner, a red banner. It says Give Life. Click on that and it'll take you directly to the donation page. You can also text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555. That's text Todd to 51555. And we're going to send you a link to donate. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, which is pick up the phone and call 855-353-4673. Again, that's 855-353-4673. Those last four numbers spell out the word hope, and that's what this is all about. We want to provide hope to these children of these other countries, and one of the ways we can do that is making sure they have something good to eat and they have access to clean drinking water. So again, go to my website, toddstearns.com, click on the Give Life banner, and let's reach our goal this week.
Hey, Todd, Cosmo Kramer from Moses Lake, Washington. I'm a disabled veteran. My father retired from the United States Army. When Iraq came around, my father was in the National Guard. They wouldn't let him go because he was too old, and it absolutely destroyed him. Tim Walz is worthless. Have a good day.
Well, you too, Cosmo. Have a great day. This whole thing is just very, very odd. And again, I go back to the thought, if you're with a group of men and your unit is about to deploy and you're up for retirement, it just seems to me if you've been with them for any amount of time, you would actually want to go with your men into battle. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is Kamala Harris, cut number three, please.
So, Arizona, it all comes down to this. We are here because we love our country. We love our country. We love our country, and I do believe it is the highest form of patriotism to fight for the ideals of our country. That's how we preserve the promise of America.
Well, there you go. That's what she's trying to sell. Happy, happy, joy, joy. And I just don't think that's working for the American people. Certainly not according to MSDNC. They've got some new polling data out. And isn't it amazing? More and more Republicans are registering to vote. Fewer Democrats are. And yet Kamala Harris's numbers are going up. Folks, I just don't believe it. I do not believe it to be true. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
If your test turned into a testimony, if your setback turned into a comeback story, if he broke them chains and set you free, you're forever changed. Church, come on and sing. If you've been washed by the water, you only came up new.
All right, that's a great American patriot, Rhett Walker, and we're going to be talking to him a little bit later on this hour. Grammy-nominated, Dove Award-winning singer, and has a brand new album out. That song from the album called Days That We Dreamed Of, and that album came out Friday. just performed over the weekend at the Grand Ole Opry. So looking forward to talking to him about that in just a little while. RhettWalker.com is his website. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there, Ray Richardson Country. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Well, not much. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, about whether Wallace can run for office, I guess if we cleared out everybody that was a coward and a liar, the halls of Congress would be pretty pretty empty. So I guess he's okay to run. I just am glad because I don't think it's going to help their ticket one little bit.
You know, it's interesting, Chris. It hasn't helped, at least, you know, the polling data out there. And again, I'm not buying much into the polls other than normally the Democrats get a, you know, the party that once they announce their VP and once they had their convention, they get these pretty substantial bumps in the polls. That really has not happened with Kamala Harris.
No, and I think what bump she got is probably not even accurate. Much like the AI, you can't trust the polling either. Everything is going to be tilted, but don't think that you have to give up. You have to push, and make pretend that, you know, we're 10 points down.
It's a great point, Chris. I say campaign like we're 20 points down, but I get your, I like the spirit of what you say, because we do, and we've just got to get out there, be positive. We have a great pro-America message, like Ronald Reagan wanting to bring a morning back to America. That's what we're trying to do here. So, Chris, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Tony in Georgia on WDUN. Hi, Tony. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I am a retired Marine Corps major, 100% disabled. And the question is, not a question, actually, it's a statement about people being confused, or maybe Walt's being confused about his rank, what he retired at. And I was explaining to the young lady on the phone, every military person that that separates or retires has to sign off on a legal form, and it's a military form. It's called a DD-214. On that form, it stipulates what all your service, years of service, your awards, et cetera, your deployments, et cetera. And it would show combat action, et cetera, number of days in a combat zone, and so on. But more importantly for Mr. Waltz, or whatever you want to call him, it shows his rank. He had to acknowledge what his rank was, and it's highlighted and identified with the date of rank, and it would have showed when he was demoted down to Master Sergeant. But somebody needs to ask him to produce that, black out his Social Security number, et cetera. But it's really easily resolved by somebody saying, produce your DD-214, and it'll stipulate your rank you retired at, et cetera. That's all anybody has to do to once and for all resolve this.
It's a good thought, Tony, and again, it goes back to what in the world was the campaign thinking here? You know, I know they were doing things, you know, pretty quickly and rushed, but it seems to me that you would want to look into all of that, and maybe they just trusted the guy too much. Clearly, the folks, the reporters in Minneapolis were not really doing a lot of their homework, and as a result, and if they had have done that, he wouldn't have even been elected governor.
Absolutely.
All right, Tony, we will pass along that information. I suspect those conversations are already being had. Here's the challenge. They can't go with John Shapiro because he's Jewish, and they will lose Michigan. And that's a big challenge, right? They've got to have a VP pick that will not alienate their base, and John Shapiro would do that. And now you've got the whole embarrassment of watching, you know, of having to dump Tim Walz. It's a hoot. Now this, for those of you of a certain age, you will remember the name Thomas Eagleton. Now Thomas Eagleton was the U.S. Senator from Missouri, and he was the running mate for George McGovern. McGovern was running for the White House in 1972, and it turns out that Eagleton, who was picked as the VP, it turned out that he had a big problem, and he and his wife covered it up. He suffered serious bouts of depression for much of his life. He had to be hospitalized, and all of this was kept secret. They didn't even bother to tell the McGovern campaign. And so it came out after he was picked. They went through the whole convention. Eagleton was the guy, and then he had to leave the campaign. He had to end it, and he did. And that's what we could be looking at here. We could be looking at another Thomas Eagleton incident. Wow, what a mess. What a mess. And it's wonderful if you're a Republican. So, by the way, and a lot of people are upset about the ads. How come Trump isn't running ads? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Well, first of all, he is running ads. He's running a lot on social media. But one of the things you have to understand is most Americans are not paying attention yet to any of this. Now, they will after Labor Day. And I think after Labor Day, you will see a barrage of ads coming out from the campaign. But right now, people are getting the kids back to school. A lot of folks are still on vacation. They're just wrapping up the summer, and then they will settle in and start paying attention to what's happening with the election. No need to panic just yet is all I'm trying to say. Now, Elon Musk, this just coming in. So tonight, Elon Musk hosting this interview with President Trump. The European Commission is coming out with a statement, and they are now threatening Elon Musk over the Donald Trump interview. This is insane, and they're demanding that Elon Musk live fact check Donald Trump. You know what? Elon needs to go tell the European Union to go take a fly and flip. These people are insane. They are trying to interfere with our election, and they're attacking free speech. Now, look, here's what you need to know about Tim Walz. Tim Walz hates free speech. He believes there should be limitations on free speech, especially those of you who are conservative. You say, Todd, what would that look like? Well, at this very hour in the UK, they are literally arresting people and sending them to jail for up to 2 years because they said something that was offensive on like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Dylan, I'd be doing, what, 5 life sentences by now?
Yeah.
And that's just based on today's post. So now the UK, the British Police Commissioner, a guy by the name of Mark Rowley, is now threatening to extradite Americans. So let's just say that I'm sitting here and I'm writing about, I don't know, why is it that the royal family is inbred and has horse teeth? What's up with that? I have always wanted to know, but, you know, I'm trying to be polite. So what if I had written, well, they could extradite me. They could send me to the Tower of London. No, I'm not making this up. Cut number 4.
We will throw the false force of the law at people. And whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you.
Talk to me about that, because we have seen some high-profile figures whipping up the hatred. You talked about it in there with the officers, in fact, about this being added to by online commentary. I mean, I'm even thinking of the likes of Elon Musk getting involved. What are you considering when it comes to dealing with people who are whipping up this kind of behaviour from behind a keyboard, maybe in a different country?
Being a keyboard warrior does not make you safe from the law. You can be guilty of offences of incitement, of stirring up racial hatred. There are numerous terrorist offences regarding the sort of publishing of material. All of those offences are in play if people are provoking hatred and violence on the streets. And we will come after those individuals just as we will physically confront on the streets the thugs and the obs who are causing the problems for communities.
All right. All I can say is bring it, you redcoats. We dealt with you guys once before. We'll do it again. So come on. I would rather have a military led by our great commander-in-chief, Donald J. Trump, than, again, a bunch of inbred royal people who've done nothing except do inappropriate things with their first cousins, allegedly. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. By the way, did you see Brittany Griner, member of the women's basketball team there, won the gold medal? And they're playing the national anthem, and Brittany Griner, and she's the one who, by the way, told the WNBA back in the day to stop playing the national anthem. Then she got her butt thrown in jail over in Russia, and I think she learned her lesson. I really do. And ultimately, you hope that these people, you know, these athletes, these kids, she's not a kid, she's a grown woman, but you hope they learn their lesson when they go through something like this and what this country did to get this woman out of jail. And when I saw the images, and she got very emotional during the national anthem, and she said afterwards that she was very grateful for what her country did for her. And I, you know what? I'm going to believe her. I am going to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I truly believe that this is a changed person who now understands what America really is. You know, you've got all these people running around burning down things and tearing down our statues, and they say, oh, this is the worst place in the planet. You know what? Go to Gaza. Head over to Somalia for a weekend. Give it a shot. See what you think. So anyway, good for you, Brittany Griner. Congratulations. And you heard Governor Huckabee saying our American athletes just crushed it. And many of them just were so patriotic, love this country, and you can't help but love that, in spite of the paganism. All right, let's go to Bob in North Carolina. Hi, Bob, what's on your mind?
Be careful what you say about the British now. If Harrison Waltz gets into power in the presidency, they may assist Britain in expediting us to England to face Trump.
You think they would do that, Bob? You think they would turn on their fellow American citizens?
They're both socialist communist people, Todd. Damn right they would.
Bob, how old are you, Bob?
Almost 84.
All right. So I'm not sure if you remember this movie. It was very popular when I was a teenager. It was called Red Dawn. And it was the movie about the Russians invading America. I don't know if you remember that movie, but in 1984, when it came out, it was like a huge movie. It was like every kid that I went to school with, we all went to go see that movie. We wanted to be Wolverines. We wanted to go and take up arms and kill the Russians. So the point of that is, a lot of people thought in this movie that the bad guys were the Russians, who invaded America, and they took over America, and a bunch of teenagers with guns, we were able to save the day. Listen to me, we were able to save the day. Actually, Charlie Sheen did. But I contend that the bad guy in that movie, Bob, was the mayor of the town. His name was Mayor Bates. And Mayor Bates colluded with the Russians to stay in power, and he ratted out all the gun owners in town. And you know, Bob, when I think about somebody like Tim Walz, to your point, I think about Mayor Bates from Red Dawn. I think you're right. I think he would sell us out.
Absolutely. They're doing it now. They don't care about the average American person. They just want the power. And the same thing with the communists in England. They want to keep power. That's why they're using these threatening tactics.
Could be. The only drawback for the British, and they tried to do it again in 1812. It did not work out well for them then. We are actually the most heavily armed nation on the face of the earth. So they can try it. I don't think it's going to go down well.
Well, we armed for the time being.
For the time being, you're right about that. All right, Bob, appreciate that call. Bob says if Kamala and Waltz get in, there's a good chance they might hand us over to the British. Patrick Swayze was in that movie. That was, you know, Red Dawn. I saw the remake. I got to tell you, I was not all that impressed. I really was not. I was not all that impressed. But you had C. Thomas Howell. You had Charlie Sheen. There were some great actors in that movie back in the day. All right, let's go to Joanne in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Joanne. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I just had a comment. It's to the last caller, Bob, and he had mentioned us being sold out to whenever or if Kamala Harris gets in the presidency. And I just want to remind everyone out there that we do have our Second Amendment. And regardless of what happens, we're not going to be sold out. We as Americans will never let that happen. We'll stand our ground. And I'm all for that. I'm not worried in the least bit. So I know my rights. I have my guns. I have my ammunition. And no one is going to take that away from me.
Well, good for you, Joanne. And I'm with you there. And if you live in Memphis, you need to be armed anyway. Let me say this, and I would caution any American, if you're traveling to, you know, to Europe, you need to be very careful what you write on social media, because they could arrest you. And in all seriousness, this is not a joke. They are literally arresting people off the streets for things they write on social media. So that just it's a sad thing, but that's ultimately the reality in Great Britain right now. Joanne, were you at the event this weekend, the big Trump rally, the caravan?
Yes, that's me.
Wow, I thought that was you, and it was so nice to meet you, Joanne, and that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm trying to get some information on who put it all together and see how I can help contribute. I don't know anyone in this area because I spent most of my life in Florida, and I'm here now for family, but I just... I don't know anyone.
Well, so. Joanne, here's the deal. You listen to KWAM and go to the KWAM, Stop Memphis Crime Group. You're going to meet a lot of great patriots, and you're going to have more friends than you're going to know what to do with. But, Joanne, what an honor to meet you. Thank you for coming out Saturday. I want to thank all of those Mid-Southerners, folks around the Memphis area who came out to show their support for Donald Trump. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great day. Get out there and you be good, America. We'll see you tomorrow.